Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, we'd like to welcome you to another program of Missing Pages of History. That's right, we're talking about missing pages of history. We are writing a history book where people of Africa or African descent will be filling in these missing pages. We believe that it's very important for people to know that history. And by knowing that history, they will have a better understanding of their past, which will allow them the ability and the means to create a present, and which will put them in position to protect their future. Today, we basically have an open topic. We have members call in from our organizations, and we invite the audience to feel free to call in also today and participate under this little concept we have that we call What's Going On in the Back of Your Woods. What's going on in the back of your woods? There are so many things that's going on in the media, so many things that are going on around the world that are affecting our people and our communities. We would like to be properly informed on what are these things. And with us today, we have with us our brother Emmanuel out of North Carolina from Missing Pages. We also have with us our brothers and sisters from out of Chile, June and Mike. And we also have with us possibly our brother out of Richmond, Brother Gilman. So they're going to be sharing their views and perspectives on what's going on in the back of our woods. And we hope to invite our callers to call in at 818-337-0016. Our callers to our audience, we'd like for y'all to call in at 818-337-0016 and share with us what's going on in the back of your woods. Right now with us, we have our brother Emmanuel in North Carolina. Brother Emmanuel, what's going on in the back of your woods? Share some information on some updates, current events, or some things that you may have just observed that you think of a significance for our people to know what's going on.
Well, today I'm going to look at the sporting world. I'm looking at the controversy that's going on with salaries in the sporting world, especially in football. If you notice that the quarterbacks, the elite quarterbacks, they're getting $20 million, $100 million contracts, and the ceiling on the footballs in the National Football League is $125 million. You got 53 players. If you give one guy $20 million, you got $105 million left for 52 players. And the person getting all the money is a European quarterback, the white quarterback. They're getting $20 million, $55 million guaranteed. I think Rodgers has got $40 million the first year. What are the African-Americans? 80% of the team are playing for it. $1, $2 million, that's all they can play for. And the quarterback don't do no tackling. He don't. All he do is throw. The receivers make these miraculous catches because most of them are about 20% accuracy. And again, he don't do no blocking. He don't do no catching. Do anything. Just get the ball handed to somebody. What are the other players going to get? Nothing. So if you look at the top 10 salaries, all quarterbacks, even second string quarterbacks make more. If you look at most of the African American players, they're making one. They're making $750,000 to $1 million to $1.2 million to $3 million, and none is not being guaranteed. So there's a lot going on in National Football League with 85% of the African Americans playing first string. They're not on the bench like a kicker or a punter, this type of thing. They're playing on the field, and they get paid peanuts. So that's what's going on in my head, and should be going on everybody's head. If you see what's going on again, it's all about the dollar and who gets the dollar, the top dollar. Same thing in baseball, same thing in football, the sporting world again. Same thing with the coaches. Who's coaching? Guys who can't coach. Who couldn't play football, don't even know how to play football. They're coaching. So you see what's going on. Three or four African-American football coaches who can really play, who really know the game. But it's all about the campus system, how they do it. And again, the quarterbacks are getting paid. And the controversy about our black quarterbacks coming in from college. Look what's going on with those guys. They can scrutinize like never scrutinized before. They don't want you at that position. Well, that's the head position. That's the one that gets all the smarts, get all the paper, get everything what happens. I always said before, give a quarterback what he throws, and get the receiver what he can. If you take it for a touchdown, he gets the touchdown. He throw an 8-yard pass. You take it 90 yards. That's an 8-yard pass and a 90-yard catch. Give him 90 yards. Get a quarterback 8 yards. So instead, when you come on these bogus figures about a quarterback throwing 4,000 and 5,000 yards, he throws about 2,000 yards, and he throws about seven, eight touchdowns. All he throws, basically, is you throw it into the end zone. That's a touchdown. He threw in the end zone. He gets the touchdown, not the receiver. So I look at all this controversial stuff, and again, our black sportscasters and the white sportscasters, they definitely not going to do that. To build these guys up, what they're not. Receivers make quarterbacks. The blockers, everybody get involved. When Jim Brown was playing, when back in the day, all these guys, the quarterback made about, he made what the backs made, what the linemen made. They made almost the same. Now it's getting ridiculous. It's 20-1 for the elite quarterbacks. You really can only play quarterback that well. But yesterday just stunned me. $110 million, $40 million up front for Rodgers of Green Bay. I was on Green Bay, I would lay down. Let him do the tapping. He throw his own ball and he catch it. Because this is getting ridiculous. We got to be able to see stuff like this. This is very controversial. To me, it is. Give everybody what they get. When they hand the ball off to the halfback or the fullback, he gets his yard, that's all he gets. But if you catch the ball at the backfield and take it 30 or 40 yards for a touchdown, the quarterback gets 40 yards. He gets 40 yards. And he gets the touchdown. And he ain't done nothing but threw the ball. And he got them pull the ball off his shoe tops. Or went away up now to get the ball. So we got to get real with this. And our people on TV that announce this stuff, they got to be not afraid. But again, we got that fear factor. We won't have a job if we go up against the system, the conversation system of football. And they've stockpiled it with people that, hey, agree, oh, you don't have a job. So make sure that the quarterback is a superior player, that he's a leader, he's this and he's that. But you can see what goes on. I looked at, before I go off, look at Ray Lewis. He was making $4.5 million, and Flacco just got $20 million. It doesn't make any sense to me. What are they going to pay the other guys? How are they going to pay these guys? But the guys need a paycheck. So they'll play for $1 million and $2 million and $3 million. You see what's going on. So I'm addressing this subject. Hope we get this subject. I'm going to do this subject when I go on TV, hopefully in September. I'm going to address this subject entirely and make sure I'm going to do a lot of fact checking, make sure that everything, I'm going to look at all salaries, look at everything, and say, wake up, people, this is what's going on. That they're paying 52 guys out of $105 million. 52 guys, I mean, averaging about $2 million apiece. So that's what we're talking about. And you're going to get a receiver's money, a little bit of money, they get half what the quarterback are getting, a bit less. Then next one get the money, of course, your linebackers. And again, guys get the money, as your fullbacks. So this is what's going on. The linemen don't get nothing. The grunt guys don't. They get the crumbs. So this is what's going on, though. And look at Tony Romo. He got $55 million. I'm like, this is crazy. Guy can't win nothing. But this is what's going on. They're calling them elite quarterbacks. These guys are terrible. I'm off now.
You have some coaches that will coach professional football. They got head coaches. They can $5 or $6 million more than the ball players.
Well, one guy said me with Philadelphia. Don't know nothing about NFL football.
So
in Philadelphia,
man, it looked like everybody's getting paid while we are getting played.
You're getting played.
While everybody else is getting paid.
You still slaves, whether you like it or not. You're sports slaves, whether you like it or not.
Let me ask you again about this question of how they can take resources and create different mechanisms to make sure they don't empower people of African or African descent. For example, in terms of your example, you're talking about sports. I also noticed that there was an outcry several years back about African athletes getting paid too much money. And then came this concept of a salary cap in terms
That's
of
right.
putting a limit on how much money you could pay the whole team. But there was no salary cap on how much profit owners can make off of these ball players. Then there came another concept recently called a luxury tax. Now, that seems to be that they come up with all kind of ways to ensure that we don't get that equal access to money. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yes, I would say that, yeah, because of the salary cap came along the cup, but look who's getting the salary from the cap, the quarterbacks, which I just explained. So once again, when they set the salary cap up, they want to make sure that the quarterbacks get all the money, and they're going to make sure. I look at Green Bay. Green Bay paid the Clay Matthews, I think, the linebacker. They gave him $50 million. So what the rest of the guys going to get? And you got 85% African-American, but we didn't give the white boys all the money. There's nobody. It's just what the salary cap was set up for.
Just to add to your point, not only do they get all the money, but they also get all the glory when they walk away from the game. They are set up in where they can go into other businesses, get commercials, et cetera, et cetera.
What they're trying to do now, if you notice now, they're trying to get European players. They're talking about putting a league over in Europe. It's a professional league, and that's going to definitely gonna throw you out just like they did baseball. They're going to try to throw you out as much as
Okay, folks, we'd like to let you know this is Missing Pages of History. We're trying to fill in some of these missing pages. If you'd like to call in and give your views on what's going on in the back of your woods, feel free to call in at 818-337-0016. If we go over a few minutes and you'd like to hear the whole program, you can always go to our archive at www.blogtalkradio.com/missing pages of history. To hear the rest of the program. If you'd like to get in contact with us and would like to have more information, how you can reach us, you can email us at missingpageshistory1 at Yahoo, or you can call us at 804-519-0357. We are looking for more people to come forward to help us to serve our communities as we develop and inform our people on their history, their culture, and their achievements. Right now, we're going to another member of Missing Pages History. Our brother Mikhail, or brother Mike, out of Philadelphia. We'd like to welcome you, and we'd like for you, brother Mikhail, give us your take on some current events. What's going on in the back of your woods?
Okay. Peace, everybody. I'm glad to be a part of this again, Missing Pages of History, Inc. We're here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on the East Coast, and as the weather breaks, so does the activity in the streets. We had quite a few shootings at the very beginning of that warm break about a week ago, and the city's trying to respond to the crisis. It's a crisis that's going on all across the country. As a matter of fact, really, in a sense, all across the world. Gun violence, crime, incarceration. What we've been doing here in the Philadelphia area is we've been trying to raise money. A variety of organizations have been involved with this to provide summer jobs. The finances are limited, of course, but there's been some good progress, and we're hoping to see that take place. I think at this point, the mayor and quite a few other people here have a program called Work Ready Philadelphia. And last summer, I believe they raised about close to 7,000 jobs for high school students. And these were intern positions, getting kids ready. The goal for this year is to have 10,000 jobs, and each job is going to cost about $1,700. So they're looking for donations. Anybody who's interested in that can get with their website, www.phillysummerjobs.org, all small letters. That's www.phillysummerjobs.org. So that's one of the things going on here. For the Missing Pages side, we're going to be working with the UNIA, Universal Negro Improvement Association, which was founded back in the day by the Honorable Marcus Garvey, who led a worldwide movement for African descended people. We'll celebrate his birthday August 17th here in Philadelphia with a parade. And we're putting together a little side venue to go along with the event to do a tribute to Marcus Garvey, the work he's done and the work that others have done in uplifting the community. You can reach Missing Pages of Philadelphia, Inc. in Philadelphia at 267-687-8488. We'll plug you into the home office in Richmond, and we can begin to build with this event this summer in Philadelphia. That's August 17th, Marcus Garvey's birthday. We'll be up on Cecil B. Moore Avenue, a historic avenue in North Philadelphia. And as we put the events together, we'll be keeping you informed. And that's pretty much it for the Philadelphia scene. There's a lot of other things going on, but we have a very limited time. So
okay.
I'm going to hand the mic back to our host, President Lee, of Missing Pages of History.
Okay, we do have a caller. We have a caller calling in. Last one number is 8488. We'd like to welcome that caller to Missing Pages of History. Caller 8488, welcome to Missing Pages of History. What's going on in the back of your woods?
Yeah, this is 8488. We have pretty much wound up on this end.
Oh, okay. You have two connections. Okay, no problem. All right, let me go back to, okay, we'd like to involve the audience. So please call in now. The phone line is open. Cheryl, what's going on in the back of that woods? You can call in 818-337-0016. I'd like to go back to Emmanuel and open up for both of y'all. I'd like to have y'all feedback in terms of this question of how do you view how the media is handling this situation that's taking place up in Boston as it relates to the death of innocent people. I'm watching a couple shows that cater to African audience, and one of the concerns they have is that it was a horrible thing that happened in Boston, but in the African community, this question of crime and people getting killed, it goes on a daily basis and it doesn't receive the kind of attention that it should be. How do y'all look at how they dealt with the issue of Boston in relationship to how they deal with the issue of crime within the African communities? Emmanuel, can I let you just articulate your position on that aspect?
You have to look at it in two stages. One was a bumming, and that don't happen in African American bummings. One is shootings. So that's up come from the gun control. And one come up Homeland Security, which is, you know, being attacked basically all by outside negative forces, I just call them. But I think it's been handled very well. The president got on top of it quick when he called the staff together, go get them. It's like Bin Laden again and got him. It was going to definitely get him. The media handled it very well. There's so many stations had it. Every station had it, so it was very difficult, you know, to try to get it all together and try to say, well, which one is the better one? Which one is going to stretch your story out, elongated, false facts? Always wait. I listen to things, you know, come to a head where you got more concrete facts. Everybody's trying to get a scoop, and that's what happened. Everybody trying to get a scoop. On the inner city shootings up on African Americans, this type of thing, again, you know, you got to find out what it can play out. What are the contributing sources? Well, what are they? You put an outline out there, so, well, jobs is one thing, parental, you know, parents is another thing. Number three is, again, being led by gangs, another thing. So you got to put all the contributing factors together first, and how do we halt this up? But the big thing is, again, is, you know, who's in power at that particular time. You can't do but so much to control children. Once they took prayer out of schools, schools got worse. Again, parenting is a big thing. You got to have a father in a house. You got to have father in a house. Or a father has to be a part of that child's life, whereas a girl or a female will make any difference. The daddy has to be. That's why they called him daddy, why they called him father. If the father's not there, well, no wonder you can't, a female, a mother cannot substitute for a father or for a male. It's totally different. Brains are different. A man wants to hear from a man. You know, women don't take their kids fishing. Daddy got to. Daddy got to hug them when they strike out at the plate, not the next door neighbor. The daddy got to be there to support him. So you got to have a support group. We got to get more support groups for, you know, for our children. And that's the biggest thing between this and that. Because people, again, people get very, they get very rational. And you know what them kids mind? Everybody's a heckle on a jackal to a certain point. Don't they push a certain button? Everybody has the other streak in them before you push a button. You try not to get that button push or you walk away. And most of us don't walk away. But first of all, what they're getting killed by? Guns. We got to have more gun control. Background checks, they knocked it down because it's about commerce. It's not about saving nobody's life. How many guns can we sell? Let's get it together. The bottom line is seven guns and in the wrong hands. My son wouldn't have got killed by a 22-year-old kid and a 15-year-old kid shooting each other, and he got in the crossfire. What do a 15-year-old kid doing with a 357 Magnum gun? What a 20-year-old kid doing a 9mm? Didn't make anybody off the street. When they chased the guns down, they got them off the street. So this is what this is all about. This is about gun control, and we got to get more gun control. It's got to be background checks, like you get driver's license to drive a car. I don't care if you got to do this to save your child. See, the guys who voted this thing down, their children are not dead. Their children are still living. So once I'm not saying, they understand when their child get killed, but you got to understand exactly other children are getting killed. We're a community. We're a family of people. But again, when you slice this thing in half, Baltimore's covered very, very well. They got to him like they're supposed to get to him. They finally rid him of Miranda rights. But still, that should never happen. They would have was on the way to Madison Square Garden. Look what happened there. It's to Times Square. To Times Square. So these people that are here, we have people in all the time, all this are immigrants, and some of us, again, they started this country with robbers and murderers, how this country got started. So it's not going to stop. The world got started with Abel and Cain, and someone got murdered. So it's not going to stop. You can basically reduce it or minimize it. And all we're saying, I'm saying, is to minimize it. And what things we can put in place to minimize it, I gave you those before. I'm going to repeat those again. Parenting is number one. When the child is born, be a parent. That's number one. Stop blaming everybody else. Be a parent. You brought that child in this world. Be a parent. I want 12 kids. All of us are living. We got taught with gun control. We hunted, but my father, again, we had control of those guns. My father made sure we knew all the safety things and not to shoot nobody. Self-defense, yes. Stand your ground, but say nobody's going to do that. But my God, don't go out looking for people to shoot. And we have wars that penetrate our minds, too. We come back from war, things don't happen. We come back and want to hurt somebody. So all these obstacles in the way are there. But again, you got to control. It's all about control and self-control. And number two is jobs. Once you get up out there, you got to train that kid first. When you get up out there, you got to get a job, some type of job. And again, unemployment creates job, makes people spend. People got money in the summertime, they spend. Summer jobs come pretty easy. Want people to put up hiring signs, put up huge hiring signs. We're hiring, and let people know this. And let the schools, they got counselors there. And let these people know where jobs are. Invite the school open to people who have a job, have job fairs. All these things are good. But get that earring up that ear. Get that crazy haircut going. Pull your pants up. You got to do things right. Your appearance is the first thing of hiring anybody. So, again, we got to get the foundation right first. You got to get the foundation. It comes from the parents. Grandparents can't raise no teenage children. You drop them on the grandparents. And like you say, you get incarcerated. Now you drop them on the grandparents, aunts, and uncles. And sometimes they get molested, this and that. So all this crazy stuff, you can't be putting your responsibility on somebody else all the time. But the big thing is, again, how we're going to stop it is basic things I've outlined before, is parenting is number one. That is the priority. Is when you bring a child into this world, until you get 21, the rules have been set, or 18, the rules have been set, follow them rules as good as we can. Make sure you check on your children, support your children, stay on top of your children. You're the parent. Most of the time when they turn about 13, 14, you are the child and they the adult. They're telling you what to do and what they're not going to do. That had never happened with me. I raised my children. And you got to do
that. Let me stop.
Go ahead,
Mr. McCall. Thank you. We have a caller, 3802. We'd like to give that caller a chance to tell us what's going on in the back of that woods. Caller 3802. Last four numbers.
Yes, greetings, Brother Lee, and to your guests. This is Empress Chi. How are you all today?
Good to hear from you.
Oh, good to hear you all. You're having a wonderful dialogue, and it's very much appreciative. And I really agree very much with what the brother is saying. I just want to kind of add in on a few things. One, this thing about gun control, and I just kind of put some of the last part of that. I do agree we do need gun control to some degree, but I think we need to be real clear also not to get too diverted from some other key things. You know, this system tends to make an issue of things when they want to. So it's not so much that they really care about it one way or the other, in all honesty. But I think what we have to do is examine the full picture. For example, our brother indicated that, of course, it's our children and family members and loved ones and so forth that's being killed with guns. But you know what? In my research over these past years, when I find the issue of women, our women and girls that are being murdered, 9 times out of 10, it's not with a gun. And that doesn't distract from the fact that, yes, our guns, there are guns that are killing our people indeed. However, you rarely hear the discussion about what's going on with increased murder in violation of our women and girls. Now, over the years, again, I've done extensive research on a national level, and this thing has increased so much that I dare say it could be reaching a crisis mode. However, when you look at the types of murder that is being committed, and even rape, usually it's not by using a gun or any weapon, I dare say, but certainly not a gun. Now, what I found recently is when our girls or when our women are murdered, believe it or not, oftentimes they're beaten and beaten with an object of any type, but oftentimes beaten with the hand, strangled. We are now finding our women are mutilated. So, again, while it's of course necessary to look at this issue with guns because this is a national issue, but I think it behooves us also to look at the issues that are really directly in our community. When we talk about the home and how we must be parents, we must show examples of what it is to be a man. And certainly when we have this issue within our homes and within our communities where our women and girls are being beaten and raped, that certainly isn't sending a signal of parenting either. But see, these are some of the areas that we get little discussion or notice about. Now, here in Philadelphia, roughly 3 years ago, we had a female who went to a club, a little club. You know, the girls go out, have a little club, you know, whatever. 22, 23 years old. She comes outside. A guy says something to her, and she didn't really like it. She said something back to him. He got in his car and then drove her over. And then when he saw that she was still moving, he backed the car up and killed her. And he didn't even know her. So I'm saying all that again, family, to say that we have some serious issues in our community. And we know from whence it comes, and I think that's also important to identify where is this behavior really coming from. Because in order to really address it, we've got to understand the dynamics of from whence it comes. So my message again is really know thyself. Meaning, to be a good parent, to be a good brother, a good sister, or not just good, but one that is productive, one that is in tune to what's going on. One of the premises has to be in this day and age to know thyself. Because from previous times, certain things were intact because you were told to do it, and you had to do it. And there was a system backing it up, saying you had to do it all across the board. Because you couldn't go anywhere hardly. You couldn't do many things. So there was a lock-in all across the board. Well, that's not quite the case, at least not visibly so. So we've got to look at the whole picture in a more holistic way so that we can really combat it and win.
Okay, my sister, relax. We'd like to thank you for your contribution. There's one thing I'd like to ask you quickly to do for us. We know that you have a nationally known show that comes on Saturday night. For our audience, can you talk briefly a little bit about the show? How can they tune into your show?
Absolutely. We're in our fifth year now, And we come on every Saturday evening from 10:30 p.m., usually to 12 or 12:30 Eastern Time. And it's called New Day Resurrection and Liberation. And we cover an array of topics, anything that's relevant to our people. Tonight we have on Dr. John Johnson, who is the father of a sister, 19-year-old young sister, unfortunately joined the military. Many of our youth are doing that now because they feel they don't want to burden the family with going to college or what have you. And this young sister joined the military at 19, ended up getting shipped over to Iraq. And as it turned out, she was murdered and raped. And the problem with this is we're finding now, again, this is happening more, getting more reports from military personnel that this is what women are going through. And in this particular case, it's being covered up. The family still doesn't have any real answers. It appears they're not trying to, the so-called officials are not trying to give them any real answers. And so, you know, we're going to support in whatever way we can. So Dr. Johnson will be on tonight to talk about what has happened with their daughter and, you know, the strive for justice. So people can tune in at 10:30 by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/EmpressChi, that's EmpressChi, or you can tune in on your telephone via podcast by calling 646-652-2232. We'll also tonight be giving a report on Mumia Abu-Jamal, the rally that took place here in Philadelphia, and also the upcoming rally that will take place at the Justice Department in October called the Rally for Justice.
Okay, Sister, we'd like to thank you again for your support of the program and the work that you are doing in our community that's up in Philly.
Absolutely.
And throughout the world. And we know that you are the originator of the Million Women Movement, and which we'll do a special show maybe with you at a later date. But we'd like to thank you, and we'd like to let our audience know we're going to be going on about 5 to 10 minutes. And we thank you again, Sister, for calling in. Have a blessed one.
Thank you, brother. You all keep up the fantastic work, and a luta continua.
All right, thank you. To Makaya Emmanuel, could y'all give us some kind of summarization on this question, what's going on in the back of the woods, and why our people must stay informed, and how they can best do this? Start with you, McKay, and then we go to Ian with Brother Emmanuel.
Well, I think one of the most important things we can do is be active in our communities. Whatever your political concept is or spiritual concept, I'm sure there's an organization out there for you. Missing Pages of History, we'd love it if you'd be in touch with us and assist us in working with other groups. Here in Philadelphia, we'd like to pull together with as many people as possible. Matter of fact, there's a brother named Bilal Qayyum, who had been the president, I believe, of the local NAACP. And he's working on a program currently that's going to address the issues of the black family. Way back in the 70s, I think President Nixon, in his expletive deleted tapes, mentioned about the status of the black family, and he considered it was destroyed, especially at the lower economic levels of the society. With the welfare system coming in and young mothers and becoming single moms, it kind of destabilized a lot of things. And you see the effects of that here now in the year 2013. I've got 2 generations of that. But there are plenty of people out there working on the problem. I think we all need to join hands and work together.
Okay, Brother Emmanuel, can you give us a few words about the importance of people being aware of what's going on, and just a summation, what you'd like to say to your audience today in terms of what's going on in the back of your woods?
Well, the whole thing is that, you know, we have to execute. Some we don't do. We have to accept determination is a huge thing. And, again, we got to become more independent. We have to also have more ownership of things. If you don't take ownership, because everything you see now is an extension of slavery, everything that you see, from police brutality, from, you know, hunger, from this and that. So people don't even know how welfare got started. They only knew how it got started. But again, you know, we're not on welfare. We're only 13% of the population. We're only generating $970 billion, and the economy is $14 trillion. So you got to look at the number. We never look at numbers. We're always talking about certain things. We isolate things. Isolation is not the key. We have to understand as a group, all of us are immigrants, but you got to understand how you came. You came in chains. Nobody came and changed you but you. So, again, you're the powerless. They're going to keep you powerless as long as they possibly can if we don't stick together. 75% of us live in larger major cities in this country. In the Detroit, the L.A.'s, L.A. want to have basically about 7% of African Americans. 7% is not much, a little over 2 million people. I mean, in California, the state. So you got to look at, again, the population, where we are most populous. In the Detroit, the Chicago's, the New York's, the Philadelphia, the Baltimore. That's where we are. 75% is in these cities. And these cities here, we got to take a little bit more control of them. But the main thing is ownership, so you can employ somebody. The average American, employer employs a half a person. Well, who is a half a person? We have to understand the dynamics of us. We're 13% of the population. How much of that is an adult? About 6%. You have more teenagers or people that can't work, down adults. How many are senior citizens in that same number that cannot work or disabled to work? So we're not on welfare. We're very minute on welfare. We're very small. Understand that $14 billion is basically given to welfare. $14 billion where the welfare, corporate welfare, is over $300 billion. So understand when we talk about things, understand how to talk about them. When you talk about welfare, who's on welfare? Understand food stamps. Who's on food stamps? Who gets the most? It's the amount. Who's on entitlement programs? Who are they? They're whites, basically, by a long shot, and they get more. Again, I'll repeat again. They get over $1,400 a month on Social Security, where blacks get less than $800. So who's on it? Those are things we have to point out. We point out the wrong thing. We're too ambiguous. Be specific when you say something. Average African American get over $300 of food stamps a month. Average white over $500. Who's getting them? We talk in such terms. It's amazing to me. When you say welfare, black folk, that's nowhere close to being true. Who get the vouchers? I'm going to do a program on that. You're going to be shocked who get all this stuff. But again, it's an extension of slavery. You're still going to be where you're supposed to be at the bottom. When they talk about education, you make the lowest score. Everything on you is low. We got to stop talking high. We are the superior athletes. Talk in that tone because we are. You can't hide but so much on TV showing we are superior. But again, they put the quarterback in front, and he gets all the acclaim. You making all the plays. You done duck 4 or 5 guys out there trying to get you the touchdown, and he gets credit for the touchdown. They put all the spotlight. They put the camera on the coach and put the camera on the quarterback. Then they watch us dance in the end zone or do a little thing in the end zone. They make a little nook of that, and they go back. Look at what you're saying visually. Then be able to expound on it. So all I'm saying to you is I get off the phone here. Understand your conversation and be specific. Everything we talk about is basically isolation. Isolation. And we got to understand to talk in percentages, talk in numbers. We don't do that.
And on that note, we'd like to thank all of our participants, our call-ins, our audience for listening to Missing Pages of History. This was an episode on what's going on in the back of your woods. We'd like to inform you to tune in for our next program, which will take place on May 11th at 12 noon. You can always call in and give your views and comments to our program. Until next time, remember, Missing Pages of History is building strong communities to communication. If you'd like to join and help build our organization to help develop our communities, you can email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com, or you can contact us at 804-519-0357. Until next time, let's continue to fill in our missing pages of history. As your host, Lee Robson. Bye-bye.